From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Harrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Harrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Harrogate takes the lead and wins. Harrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's fault. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, for the 12th consecutive year. Welcome to a Florida Derby edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, coming to you live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, our producer, my beautiful wife, Michelle. We are positioned right over the walking ring on the second level of Gulfstream Park, which means we are looking over that walking ring, which is surrounded by a total of six palm trees. It is a stadium-style type of paddock area if you've never been here before. The horses come down a ramp and into the walking ring after they are saddled. This is where they meet the jockeys and the trainers and then head out onto the main track for the post parade, and that is where they will contest the 66th Florida Derby later this afternoon, 6:40 Eastern Time, and we can't wait to bring it your way exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All that coverage kicking off 5 o'clock Eastern this afternoon and presented by the Pan American Conference taking place in May in Washington, D.C. JT, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Florida Derby Day.
Yes, one of my favorite days of the year. Ordinarily.
It is today as well.
It's a nice day here in Florida. It's going to be a little hot and not much breeze. Yesterday we had lots of trade winds, and today it's still as could be.
They are calling for near record temperatures today. The record temperature for this day, 90 degrees here in South Florida. We're approaching that this afternoon. They're saying 88 degrees, maybe a bit hotter, so we could touch that record temperature. It's going to be a steamy one here at Gulfstream, a lot of humidity, but a fast main track and a rock-hard firm turf course for the running of today's 14 races.
Yeah, the turf course is a little dry, could actually use a little water. I don't know, they might have got the water out there during the night. I hope so. It was dusty yesterday. Horses were kicking up a lot of dust. It's been very warm here this week, and today is not the exception, but it's going to be hotter today than it has been the rest of the week.
23 Kentucky Derby winners have prepped in the Florida Derby that is tied with the Bluegrass and the Champaign for the prep races that have produced the most Kentucky Derby winners. 14 horses have won both the Florida Derby and the Kentucky Derby. Of course, Nyquist pulled off that feat last year. Then you had Orb in 2013 and then Big Brown in 2008. And as I mentioned, there have been so many others. You think of Barbaro being another one that pulled off that feat. Not easy to do, but it has happened quite frequently here in South Florida.
Yeah, well, this is a race that has very good timing for the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, a lot of horses like to come down here during the winter and train in the better weather. It's been a very nice meet here. The weather's been excellent the whole meet. So, culmination of a lot of great things today. There's a huge carryover in the Rainbow Six, and if it's not hit today, which I know Gulfstream's kind of hoping for, it's going to be a mandatory payout. Tomorrow it's already up to $2 million, so they may get close to three this afternoon.
I actually heard earlier the week they're hoping to get eight in that pool later today.
Yeah,
that's their goal, is to get $8 million in that Rainbow Six pool. Can you imagine that?
They're very ambitious.
Well, hey, who knows? Why not? It's a good card. It's a good card with full fields. You have a couple of shorter fields, but for the most part, it's pretty good. This year's edition of the Florida Derby, Jude, I don't know if anybody would argue this point, but I don't think it's the strongest Florida Derby field that we have ever seen. Gunnevera is going to be the likely favorite. He's the 8-5 morning line favorite, a son of 2011 Florida Derby winner dialed in. but he drew the far outside post, number 11. Now, keep in mind, battalion runner for Todd Pletcher is likely to scratch today. I think that's pretty much been determined, which means that Gunavera will move in just a slot, but he's still going to have to overcome that outside post, which is never easy.
Yeah, it's not the best post in the world, but he doesn't have a lot of speed, so he can probably tuck over into the first turn and save some ground. I don't think it's going to affect him as much as it might affect a horse that's a presser, where they would have to either use their speed or be farther back than they wanted to. So for him, with his kind of laggardly early pace, he can just kind of tuck over, I think, and save some ground. The post, I don't think, is going to be a big issue for him. It's just a matter of, how is he coming into this race? Is he at his all-time best? And he'll need his best effort to win.
The winningest post position in the Florida Derby since the racetrack was reconfigured in 2005, and they went to this different mile and an eighth configuration, the winningest post is post number four. Three winners have come from that post position, 3 of 12, which means that Always Dreaming is going to be in the catbird seat from a post position perspective. He's also there with his connections because he's trained by three-time Florida Derby winner Todd Pletcher. He's ridden by three-time Florida Derby winning jockey, Hall of Famer Johnny V.
Yeah, well, those are excellent connections, especially in South Florida during the winter. Those guys, they pretty much have had their run of this meeting for many years. And that horse is a big contender. He's coming up to the race in good shape, and we'll see how he runs this afternoon.
Harlan's Holiday came through Florida and won this race 15 years ago in 2002. This afternoon, he has three of his sons represented in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, it's really, really cool for that whole situation is neat. Dale Roman's horse is really, really training well. He won by 8 last time out, and he looks like he could be a big player in the race. But the other two, Harlan's Holidays, have a good shot as well.
Yeah, impressive edge, the Dale Roman's horse, Coleman Rocky and Unbridled Holiday, the other two sons of Harlan's Holiday, going to the post later today. And speaking of our good friend Dale Roman's, by the way, if people haven't done it yet, they want to head back to our website after we're done here this morning and listen to the podcast of our trainer talk show from this past week. Dale Roman's visited with you and I for a full hour in the boxes here at Gulfstream. It was so relaxed. He started telling stories about his career and some of the horses that he's been part of, and it was such an enjoyable visit. We received so many compliments on that show. Head back over, listen to Dale. He was absolutely incredible. You can do that at horseracingradio.net. He's going to send out Impressive Edge, as we talked about, a son of Harlan's Holiday. He makes his sixth career start after that impressive win that you talked about. But his first try around two turns could be a bit interesting today.
Yeah, he's by Harlan's Holiday. We know that. So he should be able to get the distance okay. But that's always a question mark, first try around two turns. Plus, it's a test for a horse. A lot of times they get a little confused because that's an area of the track where oftentimes they're pulling up or slowing down, and they're not used to going into the first turn at full speed. But Dale knows how to train a horse. I'm sure he's been around there a few times. I'm sure Tammy's taken him out and given him a spin around that turn a couple times, so he knows it's okay to run there, and I expect a big race from him today.
While the Florida Derby has produced 23 Kentucky Derby winners, the Louisiana Derby in New Orleans, conversely, has only produced 3 Derby winners, and only 2 horses have won both the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby. You have to go back to Grindstone in 96 to find the last to pull it off and the last to come out of the race to win and wear the roses was Funnyside in 2003. But a pretty good renewal today. 9 horses set to go in that race, post time 6:21 Eastern, and you will hear that race as part of our coverage, which begins at 5 o'clock later today.
Yeah, it's an interesting race. Gervin, of course, will probably be the favorite by virtue of his Risen Star victory. He won by 2 that day for trainer Joe Sharp, and he's kind of had a meteoric rise to stardom. 3 starts at Fairgrounds, broke his main first time out, came back and ran second in a listed race, and then won the Risen Star. So he's a horse that's developed quickly and could be any kind. He's the son of Tail of Akati out of a Malibu Moon Mare. Nice little pedigree there. But Neil Howard's sending out Guest Suite, and Guest Suite's an interesting horse. He kind of got a little shuffled back early in the Risen Star. He came running at the end. He's a talented horse by Quality Road out of a Go Sapper mare. Doesn't get much better than that. And he's a major contender in there under Robbie Alborado. Also local hero Steve Asmussen's horse has been improving and never been out of the money in four starts with Florent Giroux, and we all know what kind of work Florent Giroux does on a horse.
Well, if you don't have Derby fever yet, you will after today. I don't think there's any doubt about that. 35 days, 10 hours, 23 minutes, and only 52 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 6th at Churchill Downs. Don't forget, we are your official home of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. All right, JT, very, very busy program. Before we get to our first break, we're going to throw out a poll question, and we're going to keep it really simple. You have the Louisiana Derby and the Florida Derby, the two major prep races this afternoon. Which race is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby winner? If the winner comes from one of those two races today, which race is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby winner? Louisiana Derby, Florida Derby. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN or Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. When we come back from our first break, we're going to visit with Pam Robinson of Brandywine Farm. Now, Pam, the breeders and consigners of Florida Derby favorite Gunnavera. It's a great story, a rags-to-riches story to be sure, and you're going to hear that story in the words of Pam Robinson coming up after the first break. Florent Giroux, who will be riding for Steve Asmussen in today's Louisiana Derby, is going to join us at 8:39, 8:40 Eastern Time, right in that ballpark, so stay tuned for that. Andrew Chesser from the Jockey Club will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern to tell you all about that Pan-American Conference taking place in May in Washington, D.C. 9:25 Eastern, it will be Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. And then at the end of the program, we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway. You'll hear from Hall of Famer John Velasquez. You'll hear a clip from Jose Pinchon and a clip from our good friend Neil Howard over at the fairgrounds. All of that still to come in this jam-packed edition of the Equine Forum. Stay with us. We're back with more. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry, boasting 5 Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop 2-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair Strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair Strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The jackpot winner, Gunavera, is in full stride for Javier Castellano as they race to the top of the stretch in the Fountain of Youth. And there goes Practical Joke to confront Three Rules on the top end. But Gunavera looms large off the speed as they turn for home with a short stretch to work with. With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Gunavera over the top is onto the front now. Three Rules battles on gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Gunavera and Javier Castellano moving clear. Gunavera for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the Fountain of Youth. Practical Joke second, Three Rules third, fourth, Talk Logistics in 1:44-1.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld coming to you once again live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. That call, the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth provided by track announcer Pete Aiello, and Gunavera, so impressive, just flying past the field as if they were tied to a post. He won by nearly six lengths that afternoon. He's back as the likely favorite in this afternoon's Florida Derby. Don't forget, our coverage begins 5 o'clock Eastern Time. You'll be able to listen to the Florida Derby and Louisiana Derby in both English and Spanish. You can tune in to Jude, myself, and Dan Mason with the English coverage, 5 o'clock Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 206, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on terrestrial affiliates across the country. And you'll also be able to tune in to the Spanish broadcast with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, 5 o'clock Eastern, HRRN. nespanol.com. You can listen worldwide, hrnnespanol.com.
And if you're coming out to Gulfstream, don't forget to pick up live sports radio.
Yeah, that's right, $10, and you can listen all day long to exclusive content from HRN in both English and Spanish, and you'll be able to tune in to Ron Nicoletti and Acacia Courtney and Gabby Gaudet with their coverage throughout the day. So a lot of things happening here at Gulfstream, and it's a special day for the breeders of Gunavera, and that is Pam and Jim Robinson. They own Brandywine Farm in Paris, Kentucky, and we are fortunate now to be joined by Pam. Pam, thanks for taking a few minutes this morning. Really appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Actually, we haven't been to bed. We had five foals in the last 24 hours, so it's not even a continuous from yesterday.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, the beat goes on.
Yes, you know, and I was listening to your replay in terms of Gunavera and Practical Joke. You know, Practical Joke was raised right across the road from us at Whispering Oaks. The way the crow flies, it's a mile.
Well, they always talk about the soil in Kentucky and how fertile it is, and that's the reason that it's so good for the thoroughbreds, but there must be something in the water out there in Paris, too.
Well, we have well water, and I think that it's rich in minerals, and so we also have city water, but we prefer to use the well water for watering the horses.
Well, it's worked pretty well, and it's worked well for Gunavera, who, as we mentioned, is the likely favorite later today. Pam, I didn't want to steal your thunder in the open to the broadcast, so I didn't get into the full story on Gunavera. I wanted you to tell it because it is so remarkable and it's such a positive for our sport. Go ahead and tell Gunavera's story.
Well, the sad part of Gunavera's story is the fact that his dam died about 10 days after birth. But and it started initially, she did hemorrhage at foaling, but that was addressed, and she was stable. And after about 3 days, she and her foal were going out in a small paddock and were acting as completely normal mare and foal. But about 10 days after foaling, she's a 19-year-old mare, and she all of a sudden dropped dead in her paddock just very, very suddenly. And it was said that she had a heart attack, which was extremely unfortunate. But that meant that the foal then needed another mother, which is when we call in for a nurse mare. And the reason that we get a nurse mare is because from that point until the nurse mare arrives, we are bottle feeding that foal every hour around the clock. And nurse mare farms are set up to feed their babies because they have staff that's what they do and that's the business they're in. But when we're operating a large farm, why, it would take a person full-time job to keep up with just feeding the foal every hour. And so, as I say, he was raised on a nurse mare, and I have found out, went back in records, her name was Jenny, that we got from John Porter, who has very nice nurse mares that he raises the babies to sell for pleasure horses, show horses, riding horses. So his nurse mare foals are well taken care of, and, you know, they're a money-making project for him, too, in terms of future desirable horses.
Well, Gunnavera starts out as an orphan, and now he is a million-dollar earner, and he's a horse that is favored in the Florida Derby later today. Pam, I read somewhere that you said he was actually maybe even extra spoiled on the farm. Is that true?
Well, nurse mares are very docile, and so the two of them would come to the gate, and he constantly wanted attention, and I can't remember how long it took for the nurse mare to arrive, but it wasn't within 24 hours. So, you know, he had that extra special bonding with human contact, and he expected to get attention and, you know, like to be played with like a big puppy dog.
Well, that often happens when you have an orphan foal. Everybody on the farm feels a little sorry for him, too, for losing their mom. So they do get a little bit of extra special attention. He's by dialed in, and at the time, dialed in wasn't a known factor. He's had a tremendous run of luck starting out as a stallion. Talk about why you bred to dialed in and what goes into the thought process, because you're a consigner as well as a breeder.
Well, Darby Dan over the years has had very successful sires, and so we always go to look at their new horses coming to stud, and dialed in was a big, good-looking, well-conformed horse, had a lot of presence to him, nice big long stride, and our mare, By Unbridled, was also a big, good-looking mare, and just thought that the two of them would be a very good match for each other. And I liked the horse so much that we did two breeding rights in that horse, lifetime breeding rights.
Well, Pam, you know, a lot of people would say that this is a rags-to-riches type of story, and it has nothing to do with Gunnavera not being a good-looking horse, because he certainly was a good-looking baby, and he's a good-looking horse now. But you took him to the sale, and things didn't go quite the way you had hoped.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't get to the sales grounds maybe as early as they should, and some of your best buys, I think, occur in the first 10 horses through the ring. And maybe people leave a little early and miss the last 10 horses in the ring. But he was, I'm pretty sure he was the second horse going through the ring. In fact, the first horse might have even scratched. He might have been the first horse that day. But, you know, the people just hadn't gotten there and gotten into the buying mode yet. And so, you know, we knew we were in trouble, but when there was nobody in the back walking ring, but we breed enough yearlings, and we have a good reputation for taking our horses to the sales and selling them and not RNAing everything, you know, buying everything back. So it's more important for us in some respects to keep that type of reputation than to, you know, say buy everything back and get a reputation of not selling.
Talking with Pam Robinson, Brandywine Farm. They are the breeders and the consigners of Gunnavera. Pam, you look back on what happened last year. He breaks his maiden July 16th here at Gulfstream, goes to Saratoga. He wins the Grade 2 Saratoga Special by a length. Describe your emotions, and as you're watching him win both of those races, what was that like for you?
Well, it's a good thing that I watch on our large screen TV in the house, because by the time that he's coming down the stretch, I'm jumping up and down and acting kind of foolish, you know. And my old Jack Russell, and I would do things like that, used to bite me in the back of the legs to keep me in check. But, you know, the emotions of the whole thing, the truth of the matter is when we had Rule and Ice running in the Belmont or Danza running in the Kentucky Derby or It's My Lucky Day, the emotions weren't quite the same as they are with this horse, and I'm not exactly sure why. But I've had a stomachache all day yesterday.
Oh, you shouldn't let it stress you out, but you're such a name dropper.
Well, it is.
It's nice to have those kind of names to drop, isn't it?
Right.
What's the secret, you know, Pam? Those are some pretty good names.
Well, yes, we've had three horses run in classic races over the last 5 years, so that's not too bad of a record. But, you know, what is also more important to me is the Sanyo family. Can you imagine what they have gone through in terms of the last few years and coming to this country, but being kidnapped and what the whole family has had to face? So when I read his story, why, you know, it just kind of sends chills through my spine. And, you know, in this country, we don't realize that things like that can take place. So we're so fortunate that, you know, we live in this country.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story, both on the human side and the equine side. Pam, do you even allow yourself the opportunity to think about what it might be like if he wins the Florida Derby and then goes on and takes the Kentucky Derby here in 30-some-odd days?
I'm trying to not go that far into the future. It's enough stress just thinking about the Florida Derby right now. But and people ask me, will we go to the Derby? If, you know, hopefully he's going to make it that far. I mean, he doesn't even have to win today, I don't think, in terms of going on to the next step. But first place, I said we hadn't gotten an invitation. But secondly, I don't know that I could handle the emotions in front of how many thousands of people, because I would hate to make a fool of myself in terms of jumping up and down and falling out of the stands or something crazy like that.
Well, we wouldn't want you to injure yourself, but I think anybody that wins the Derby has a right to make a fool of themselves. That's pretty cool.
Well, you see, I'm usually pretty cool and calm and reserved, so that's why it would be somewhat out of character, you see.
It may be safer watching it in front of the big screen. Is that where you're going to watch the race today?
I think so. I think so. Uh-huh.
Well, you'll watch right in front of the big screen today, Pam? Is that the plan?
Yes, yes. We'll probably just order a pizza and sit here and wait for the race to start.
Well, we wish you all the best. It's a tremendous story. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. And to you and to your husband, Jim, keep it rolling. And all the best moving forward. And best of luck in this afternoon's Florida Derby.
Thank you very much. Thank you for
go get yourself a nap.
I will, after we get done with the vet work. I've left it in capable hands of two other people on the farm, so now I think I need to go and supervise.
Well said. Pam Robinson, okay. Brandywine Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The great, great person. So much fun to talk with. And, boy, what an afternoon this would be if they can see Gunavera. It really does make you want to cheer for the horse, right? I mean, you hear all those different stories, and the human stories with Antonio Sano, just tremendous.
Yeah, I know. It's great all the way around. And, you know, he's a cool horse. He's been running very well, very consistent. Two wins in his last three starts, and the other race ran second to Irish Warcry, who's a very nice horse. So, yeah, it's a great story, and he's cool. And his trainer yesterday was quite excited about running.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and by the way, Pam Robinson, like all of our guests who do appear on the program here, she's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We tell you every week that you can embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. Well, we'll tell you again, you can't do any better than Embrace the Race. Go check them out. They have unbelievable products, and it is the brand of the horse racing lifestyle and really does speak to your passion for the sport of thoroughbred racing. So check it out, embracetherace.com, and our thanks to Pam Robinson for being with us here today. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I tell you every week, I've been doing it for about 15 years on this show, that if you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, you'll want to go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great people at the Lexus store of Lexington, because they are committed to being the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. They are horse people, and they will take care of you like no other. I promise you that. It's the Lexus store of Lexington. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf. When we come back, Florent Giroux joins us from the fairgrounds.
For want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a race was lost. This is the story of the tragic demise of a thoroughbred who was thought by some to have been the greatest horse ever to don a set of racing plates. He raced in the colors of Darby Dan Farm and was trained by Lloyd Gentry. He was the son of Rebo out of Flower Bowl by Alibi, and by late April of his three-year-old campaign had become the solid choice for the Kentucky Derby. He was a big, rock-solid colt who had muscles that literally rippled with raw power. In terms of conformation, he was some kind of a thoroughbred specimen. He won his first seven races by an average margin of 5.5 lengths and never had a rival finish closer than 4 lengths to him. Incredible! He'd never gone over 7/8 of a mile in any of his wins until the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland on April 28, 1966. In that race, he was beaten a bare nostril by the very good Abe's Hope, but, as it turned out, that was his greatest performance of an abbreviated career, which in fact ended with that race. He had run the final 5 furlongs of that race on a sloppy racetrack on what amounted to 3 legs and a mountain of courage. That story well worth recounting. He had been reshod April 21st, 1 week before the Bluegrass, after he had been plated by one farrier, another put a new bar shoe on his left hind foot, which he had bruised in Florida. It appeared he might be carrying that foot a bit high on Sunday, April 24th, when he worked a mile in 140, and his stride was a measured one. Veteran horsemen well know that when a horse goes bad behind, it usually means trouble up front somewhere down the line. On April 27th, the morning before the Bluegrass, he worked 3/8 and 33-4 on a sloppy track. To the careful observer, it was apparent he was off a bit on his left front as he trotted back to the barn to be cooled out. In the Bluegrass the next afternoon, he broke like a cannon shot and was 6 in front going around the clubhouse turn. At just about the 5/8 pole, he took a noticeably bad step, almost stopping in midair, as a matter of fact, and from that point on, he continued on nothing more than sheer, pure, raw courage. You see, at that point of the misstep, he had fractured the wing of the coffin bone in his left forefoot, as it was discovered later. Braulio Baeza, the cool Panamanian who rode him in 6 of his 7 wins, said, quote, "He went around the turn fairly good, but as soon as he got into the straightaway on the backside, he tried to run out, which, in fact, hurt or sore horses are prone to do. Quote, "I tapped him on the shoulder a couple of times, trying to keep him straight, but he tried to get out all the way down the backside, and he was still trying to get out after the race," unquote. In that race, he galloped out a mile and a quarter in 2:03.2. On Sunday, May 1st, 6 days before the Kentucky Derby, the fracture showed up in x-rays, and not only was he subsequently withdrawn from the run for the Roses, but his racing career was at an end. That marvelous thoroughbred, who later went on to outstanding seasons of production in the breeding shed, and who was, in some observers' eyes, the very best to ever grace American racetracks, was Graustark. His story is indeed a tragic yet memorable moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street.
and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Three quarters, woman at the 11, and 4/5 seconds, Dave Streeton, its local hero, coming down to this final fairgrounds furlong. Now here comes Gervin's charge for Brian Hernandez Jr., and Gervin has assumed command for local hero. Untrapped is running on, and on the outside, guess sweet, but past the 16th, it's Gervin in the Risen Star Stakes. Gervin has won it from Untrapped. Then, local hero Guest Suite. Farther back was Motown Shareholder Value. Sorry, Eric Arklow. We trail back to U.S. Officer Cool Arrow and Horsefly.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network, coming to you from Gulfstream Park here in Hallandale Beach, Florida, where later today they will contest that Grade 1 Florida Derby, but that not the only Derby prep race on the docket for this afternoon. You also have the Grade 2 TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby, which takes place in the Bayou, 6:21 Eastern, 5:21 Central is the post time. John Dooley had the call of the Grade 2 Risen Star coming out of that commercial break. Gervin got the victory that day. He defeated Untrapped. He defeated Local Hero. Now, Local Hero is back in today's Louisiana Derby against Gervin. They'll get a great rematch. Should be a lot of fun. Local Hero is going to be ridden by jockey Florent Giroux for trainer Steve Asmussen. And Florent, nice enough to be with us now on the Equine Forum. Florent, thanks for spending a little time, my friend. Appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. It's been quite a couple of weeks for you. You've ended up in Dubai, you've been out in New Mexico, and now here you are back at the fairgrounds where you've been based throughout the winter. We're going to talk about the Louisiana Derby, but let's start with what happened in Dubai. You're a board gunrunner in the Dubai World Cup. Your main competition, Arrowgate, breaks almost dead last. You turn for home. It looks like you're in great shape, and then all of a sudden here comes this whiz past you, which is Arrowgate. What was that like, my friend?
That was not a good feeling. No, you know, I didn't know it was last until, you know, I pulled up, you know, right after the race, and I went to see Mike, you know, and congratulate him, and he said to me, you have to watch the race. He said, that was unbelievable. I was last, and I was able to win it, you know, pretty easily, but he said, not as Mike said, that was not his game plan, but the horse got squeezed, you know, leaving the gate, and end up, you know, dead last, and was able to circle the field and just get the win easily. So just show you how special is the horse.
And your horse is a really nice horse who's getting super good right now. He's arguably one of the best horses in the United States. You know, was there a video screen or something that you could sneak a peek at and see how you were doing at some point in the stretch?
No, I was not. No, I was looking forward. A great trip, and I thought I had it. You know, my horse was running; he was moving very forwardly. You know, when I asked him to go about the 400 meters, and I put away easily Neolithic. You know, like when I start asking my horse, I start opening up, you know, 2-3 lengths, you know, on that horse, and from there I'm like, well, I should be home free. And when I start asking my horse, you know, Arrowgate just went by me, you know, very easily, and just I couldn't keep up with him.
Flo, I talked to Johnny here yesterday, and he said that he heard the announcer say that Arrowgate had broken at the back of the pack. Did you hear that? Did you know that Arrowgate way back?
No, I didn't hear. You know, it's funny because Javier, you know, Castellano saw me the same thing. He was right next to him, and maybe because Javier was almost in the back, you know, and he heard like, hey, Arrowgate, you know, is now alive or something, you know, and Javier was like, oh, wow, you know, maybe we have a shot now. But, you know, he said, by the 5-8-4, he just went by him, and
Were you surprised? Were you surprised at all that you were by yourself? That like maybe Arrowgate was nowhere to be seen. Did that feel a little strange?
No, you know what? No, it doesn't really surprise me. You know, first, you know, because my horse always have a great tactical speed. That's why, you know, he's as good as he is, because he always put himself in a good spot. He's never you know, trapped, you know, behind horses or wide or anything, because he's very sharp, you know, and he got some nice early speed, so he always take a decent position, like horses like American Pharoah or California Chrome, you know, horses who jump from the gate, you know, very quickly and are able to, like, take good position. But Arrowgate is a different type of horse. He's bigger, you know, it takes him, like, three, four steps to really, like, have the engine going, you know, so I was surprised, yes and no, you know. I think that the only weakness, you know, we can see on Arrowgate is sometimes you just need, like, 3-4 jumps, you know, to get into a nice rhythm, you know. And that's his
Flo,
only thing.
Let's assume that up the road, which we all hope happens, you get that rematch with Arrowgate, and Gunrunner appears to be the next best horse in the country right now. I think a lot of people would agree with that. What's the key to being able to turn the tables on Arrowgate when you meet him again?
Well, I think Arrowgate, you know, needs to have some, like, no luck, you know, in racing, you know. I think Arrowgate so far is the better horse, you know. My horse, we never know, you know, maybe he can improving. And Arrowgate maybe can go down a little bit, you know. But I think Arrowgate can be beatable, you know. Anything can happen in racing, you know. Zenyatta got beat, and even Arrowgate got beat, you know. In his first start, so you never know. Is, you know, some, like, he could have getting beat, you know, in Dubai the other day. You know, he was slow, he got squeezed, he was back, he had to go wide. If there was maybe another horse or two in front of him who would have blocked him, maybe he wouldn't be able to get up on time. You know, you never know. It's horse racing, you know. You can't win it if you're not in it.
Yeah, that's right. Gunrunner was a really good three-year-old, but it seems like he's much better at four. What changes have you seen in him?
Well, I think he's probably getting faster, getting a little bit stronger. And he takes his races really well, you know. It's not like horses I've been ridden. It's not very common to have horse, you know, like him, who's been in some very tough races and just keep improving. You know, sometimes some of those tough races kind of knock them out a little bit, and sometimes get them tired, or just horses sometimes get discouraged, you know. Sometimes they don't get the spirit up when they don't win. But him is different. The more harder you run, the next following race is going to be better. So I think it's like, compare him as a boxer, you know, the harder you punch him, you know, the harder he get up and the stronger he gets. I think it's pretty special horse for a horse who's not that big, you know, as Arrogate or some other horses. He has a big heart, and he has a great great way of moving. He always puts his neck very very high, very low down, and carries a lot. Like, he has a very nice stride. For a small horse, he's pretty long.
Visiting with jockey Florent Giroux here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Flo, it's appropriate that we would be talking about Gunrunner on this day, because it was 1 year ago that Gunrunner won the Louisiana Derby, gave you your first victory in the race. Of course, he was trained by Steve Asmussen, and here you go again. You come back this afternoon with local hero. You're looking to go back-to-back. Steve's looking to go back-to-back in the race. Tell me a little bit about local hero. You've been aboard him the past couple of times.
Yeah, local hero was super impressive the first time I sat on him, you know, when he broke his maiden. Last time, a little bit different story. I saw him a little bit leaving the gate, and there was another horse who was supposed to be a pacemaker, so I came a little bit away from there, take a good position, and from there he was a little bit too aggressive, and he ran off down the backside, and he got tired at the end, but I think he ran too fast too early. That's what I thought, you know. He still hang on to finish third, but I don't think he did it the right way. In his maiden win, he was very nice and relaxed and pretty much geared down all the way around. And last time I felt like he was doing a little bit too much in the backside. So hopefully he can relax like he did, you know, in his maiden win here, and hopefully run a big race.
Are you going to try to slow him down a little bit, or what's the strategy?
Yes and no. I can't really try to force him to do something he does not want to. But Steve is confident, you know. He said the horse, you know, the timing last time was not exactly what he wanted, and now he has a tough race, you know, underneath him. And in his maiden win, he wins so easily, so I'm not sure if he had a lot out of it, too. This time, at least, he tried hard, and we learned something about him we didn't know the time before. Hopefully, we can try to fix that. And I think in the race is wide open. I don't see a horse I'm really afraid of. Gavin is a nice horse, don't get me wrong, but he still need to prove it, you know.
Yeah, they all need to prove it, and they need to prove it at a mile and an eighth, which is brand new to all these horses as well. And local hero certainly has a pedigree to get that added distance. Do you get a feeling when you're aboard him, Flo, that he's a horse that can get the mile and an eighth and maybe even further?
Well, the first time I rode him, I think he could have gone as far as you think a horse can run. Don't get me wrong, you know, he was very sharp, you know, and pretty quick. But he was doing it very easily. I never moved on him, and he got the mile and 70 yards on mile 16 easily. He could have gone a mile and 8. That day, he probably would have won even by farther length. Now, I don't know. It's up to him, you know. I need to see how he can handle, you know, the pressure early on and go from there, since he's a horse of Joe Sharp. He's probably a horse who has to go on the lead. Outside horse, Aftouf.
He's jockey Florent Giroux with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Flo, I know that you are a big supporter of the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, just as we are here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Your
friend and colleague Francisco Torres went down in a spill earlier this week. He was in the hospital. Any update on how he's doing? Have you heard anything or seen him or talked with him?
Yeah, I know. Actually, I went to visit him yesterday. I have several horses who scratched, you know, at the races. I had only 1 month left, and I was the 11th, so I had all day. I went to visit him, and he's doing pretty good. He had surgery, and he was in good spirit. The surgery went well, and they put some screws in his neck. He broke his neck, and he broke his tailbone, but his tailbone, he didn't do nothing about it. They just put some screws and things in his neck. But the doctor told him if everything goes well, he could be back on the horse in 3 months. So pretty good. And the doctor was pretty amazed. He was able to, like, move his hand, legs, like pretty much normal. It's pretty rare when someone breaks his neck.
Wow, just incredible and good news. I'm glad to hear that Cisco is doing well, and we wish him all the best. We'll keep him in our thoughts and our prayers. And same with you, Florent. Have a safe trip out there this afternoon every time you get a leg up, and we will look forward to talking with you again soon. Thanks so much, my friend.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, Florent Giroux here on HRRN, and really a class act and somebody who is sitting on a live horse this afternoon and local hero. And Jude, if you listen to him talk about that last race, saying how he wasn't really settled. Now he's in front by about six. I think that was probably more than what Florent wanted to do, and he's kind of running off on the backside, as he said. If he can get him to relax the way he did in the race before, when he drew off and won by 7 1/4 lengths in his maiden win, this is a horse that could be dangerous today, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, jockeys are not very happy when a horse runs off with them.
Yeah.
It's not a good scenario. It's a little embarrassing, too, sometimes. But there's nothing you can do. I mean, you're looking at a, you know, a 1,000-pound animal that's flying out there. And, you know, you weigh 112. So it's just a matter of mathematics. But, you know, Florent has great hands. He's not a guy that rushes horses ever. I mean, he can ride a speed horse, but he's never in a big hurry.
No.
You know, so I think he's the ideal jockey for a horse like this. He's got the nice soft hands and can get this horse to relax. And if he, you know, makes an easy lead or even can sit second off of somebody that wants the lead, like he mentioned, Hotfoot having a lot of speed, and Hotfoot's drawn outside, so he's going to have to go. So if Hotfoot, like, flies out of there and he can sit second behind and the horse is amenable to that, this horse could be very, very tough today.
Well, because of the injury to Francisco Torres this week, Sean Bridgemahan is going to be aboard Hollywood Handsome for Dallas Stewart in today's Louisiana Derby. So make that note. It will be Sean Bridgemahan replacing the injured Cisco Torres aboard Hollywood Handsome. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show. We'll do that next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 mile at Keeneland, then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first four generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first crop yearlings turned heads, selling well above the stud field. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
This afternoon, the road to the Kentucky Derby stops at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, with the 66th running of the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby. It's all part of an afternoon featuring 14 races along with 6 graded stakes. On Sunday, celebrate closing day of the championship meet by coming out to get your retractable umbrella free with your purchase of a handicapper program or daily racing form. Gulfstream Park, welcome to your playground.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won 3 grade 1s.
One from on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down to the finish. And Shackelford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in spades is Shackelford. He's out in front. Shackelford wins the claw.
Shackelford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
La última curva, el que más corre es Gannevera por la parte exterior contra Practical Joy, que se vienen a luchar la delantera y por también están los dos luchando la punta, pero ya Gannevera se ha venido a la delantera y coloca un cuerpo, cuerpo y medio, dos cuerpos de ventaja y será imposible de derrotar Gannevera con 3, 4, 5 cuerpos. Ganó Gannevera el Phantom of You 2017.
Well, that's the way the Fountain of Youth Stakes sounded on HRRN and Espanol. Our very own Eloy Vielma with the call of Gunnavera's victory that afternoon. You can hear Eloy and Roberto Rodriguez again today with coverage of the Florida Derby, which begins 5 o'clock Eastern Time, HRRN and Espanol.com.
Nothing better than betting on a horse and hearing him say, Cuatro, cinco, cuerpo.
Imposible.
Unbelievable.
It was great. Right after we finished the interview with Pam Robinson a short time ago, the connections of Gunnavera stopped by. So we were talking to the breeder and the consigner, Pam Robinson from Brandywine, and then here came Antonio Sano and the owners, which go by Peacock Racing Stable, Solomon. That's Solomon. The father and the son. They're both named Solomon. Right. Yeah, so it was nice to have them stop by for a few minutes and say hello during that commercial break.
Yeah, good guys and super excited for the race today, you could tell.
Hey, are you ready for Equestricon 2017? Well, you better get ready because Equestricon is the sport's first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show, and it's all taking place August 13th through the 15th in Saratoga. You can purchase your tickets now at equestricon.com for this one-of-a-kind experience. The convention will be loaded with programming such as panels, workshops, meet-and-greets, entertainment, autograph signings, and appearances by racing personalities. Check out equestricon.com to learn more, and HRN is the proud partner of Equestricon 2017.
There you go.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. We'll do some shows from there and some interviews, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, well, a busy second half of the show coming up next. Don't forget, you can still weigh in on our poll question. We asked you which of the two Kentucky Derby prep races taking place this afternoon, the Florida Derby or the Louisiana Derby, is most likely to produce a Kentucky Derby winner. Florida Derby, far and away, the leader in the clubhouse right now. 70% voting for Florida Derby, only 30% coming in for Louisiana Derby.
Yeah,
you
probably,
agree?
Probably pretty accurate. Yeah, you know, it's a situation where it looks like maybe a couple of the better horses are in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, I don't think the Florida Derby's all that strong, though, JT.
It's not. It's one of the weakest Florida Derbies in a long time.
I think it's probably the weakest one that we've ever covered.
I think
if you're going to call a spade a spade, I think it is. I think it's probably one of the weaker ones that we've covered.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. There is a charity betting contest today, the April Fool's Day Betting Challenge. It is April Fool's Day.
It is April Fool's Day.
We didn't plan any jokes for anybody. We're too serious over here.
I thought about it.
They planned a joke on us when they didn't bring us our table this morning.
That's right. Gulfstream was playing the jokes. You can go to charitablewager.com to check that out. It's a great contest. You pick your charity to play for, and it's a winner give all contest. If you win, your charity gets all the money. It's $20 pledge to play.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Neat.
So,
all right, well, Andrew Chesser is going to join us in just a couple of minutes right after we get set for the second half of the show. Andrew with the Jockey Club, and he is going to be talking about the Pan American Conference coming up in May in Washington, D.C. Now, all of our coverage this afternoon of the Florida Derby is presented by that Pan American Conference, so I'm looking forward to visiting with Chesser to hear all about that particular event. It's going to be great. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, will be with us at 9:25. And then at 9:45 Eastern, we'll go down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway. And in that segment, you'll hear from Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. You'll hear from Jose Pinchin, who sends out three rules in the Florida Derby. And you'll hear from trainer Neil Howard, who is going to be represented by Guest Suite in this afternoon's Louisiana Derby. So a lot of things still to come. Stay with us. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Ren Songbird, a soul-stirring duel, forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus!
Great Hong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dray Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dray Fong's the leader. Dray Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. The 12th consecutive year that Jude Feld and yours truly have been together here at Gulfstream, and really looking forward to bringing you that coverage of the Florida Derby later today. The 66th running of that historic race is set to go right around 6:40 Eastern, which means we're probably looking at a little bit closer to 7 o'clock by the time that they run the race. Now, keep in mind, JT, they do have to run the race prior to 7 o'clock by law, or they have to pay a fine. Gulfstream would have to pay a fine. So more than likely, that race is going to go somewhere in that 6:55 to 7 o'clock ballpark.
Yeah, we would prefer 55.
We would prefer 55. Makes it easier on us with our scheduling with the folks at SiriusXM.
Maybe we can ask Mike if he can make it 55.
We'll see. Mike Nyman's going to be with us at 9:25 Eastern time this morning, the director of marketing who has been with us throughout this entire Saturdays at Gulfstream series, All of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcasts are presented by the FTBOA, and this afternoon's Florida Derby broadcast is presented by the Pan American Conference, which is taking place in Washington, D.C. during Preakness Week. And to tell us more about that is Andrew Chesser from the Jockey Club. Andrew, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Things are good. How about with you?
Things are doing very well today. Glad to be on.
Excellent. Looking forward to hearing more about this Pan Am Conference. Some people have heard that you guys are the title sponsor of what we're doing this afternoon here in Florida, and they've said, well, what's the conference all about? So, Andrew, what's the conference all about?
Well, thank you. So the Pan American Conference, which is to be held in Washington, D.C. during Preakness Week, is actually the second iteration. In 2015, during Belmont Stakes Week, we held this first conference in organization with our partners, the Latin American Racing Channel, and that was a tremendous success. We had over 400 attendees from over 27 different countries to address a number of really important topics that affect global horse racing all over around the world, with an emphasis on matters that are pertinent to North America and South America. Well, through good luck or good planning, we were able to throw a triple crown in there along the way. But it's a combination of some tremendous social events alongside a number of really engaging and interesting panel discussions, speakers, and presentations. So we're very excited to bring this to Washington, D.C., and, of course, to Baltimore for the Preakness Stakes, with the great support of sponsors and partners such as the Shawna Group and Longines.
Well, I think it's appropriate that we are doing this interview while Jude and I are sitting at Gulfstream Park on Florida Derby Day, because you're going to have a very special keynote address from a very special person. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, the Strana Group is one of the key supporters of this event, and Belinda Stronach will deliver a keynote address on the Friday of the Pan American Conference there, towards the conclusion of the business sessions, speaking about the Strana Group's racing ventures, the challenges and opportunities for thoroughbred racing, both domestically and internationally. Obviously, Florida Derby Day is the one of the highlights there of the Gulfstream Park meet. They held the initial running of the Pegasus World Cup Invitational, the world's richest horse race. Gulfstream Park will, in December of this year, be the host of the Clásico del Caribe. The first time that event, which is a premier series of races for horses in the Caribbean and in Central America. They're bringing that race here to the U.S. for the first time. So we're very excited to hear about their vision for racing, prospects on the future, and just how we can all work together more closely to support global horse racing.
Well, Stronach Group has been very supportive of our HRN and Espanol coverage, which has grown exponentially over the last few months. And, they're very interested in catering to their Latin market down here. There's a lot of events that they're interested in putting on, and the Clásico del Caribe was one of the things that they wanted to build around, and I think that's a great opportunity for Gulfstream and for the United States.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. As you guys well know, in the past few months here on the Triple Crown and Longines Kentucky Oaks season, has just showcased the influence of Latin American and South America in the U.S. Breeding and racing scene, and really all over the world, from horses such as Unique Bella, Malagasy, Gallia, all owned by some prominent owners in Chile. California Chrome, recently announced to shuttle down to Chile as well. From horses such as 60 Song, who won the Longines Grand Premier Latino Americano, who's now been tabbed to hopefully run at Royal Ascot. This is a long time coming, and we're really proud that we're going to have this Pan American Conference to showcase a lot of different topics involved in horse racing, but particularly to show that Latin American, South American breeding and racing not only has an impact locally, not just in the United States, but really all over the world.
Well, you travel all over the world. You probably travel more than anybody I know, and you go to some great venues. When you're out there, and especially when you're in South America, do you find that the South Americans have a very distinct interest in racing in the United States?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've had the really great opportunity to visit a lot of different countries. And to be at a lot of different racetracks and a lot of different racing cultures. The warmth, the hospitality that you find in South America might be second to none. I was very lucky to be in Chile at Valparaiso Sporting Club, who's one of the sponsors of the conference as well, for the Bonjour Grand Premio Latino Americano. And the pride that they have in their horses and the connection that they have to U.S. racing is so very obvious from the same sires and pedigrees that you're seeing to just the partnerships that have been built along the years from different stud farms such as Ashford Stud, TaylorMade, Windstar, Hillendale, et cetera, to a lot of the good work that's done by people like Keeneland, who's another great supporter of the Pan American Conference. Tom Thornbury is one of the best guys out there, has been for many, many years, traveling to Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Peru, Uruguay, just fostering and cultivating all of those relationships. So there is a very distinct connection of the United States to South America, Central America, Caribbean as well. And I think that will only just grow more and more. And we're very proud to bring people, not only just from the U.S., but from all over the world, to see that in Washington.
The Jockey Club's Andrew Chesser joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, talking about that Pan American Conference, which comes up May 17th through the 20th in Washington, D.C. You can learn more about the conference and all the panels and some of the topics that you can expect to be covered by going to panamdc2017.com. That's panamdc2017.com. Andrew, one of the things that I was reading about the conference is that the focus will not only be on the global racing industry, but on the challenges and the opportunities that are out there and how the industry can work together to promote and enhance the sport. So I know you can't get into all of them now. We don't have enough time, but what are some of those opportunities available to promote and enhance the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. No. And again, thanks for the opportunity to kind of share those details. I think that there's a real growth opportunity for racing to work much more in harmony, especially globally, when it comes to things like syndicates, partnerships, that go across borders. We've got a panel that's lined up that's got speakers such as Elaine Mahler, who is a part of the It's All About the Girls syndicate, and director at Goffs. People may have seen Global Glamour, who's a Group 1 winner in Australia that has ownership interests in all over the world. To Gatewood Bell, who's raced horses here in the U.S. and brought them over to Royal Ascot. We always think about the partnerships that happen within one's country, but we can branch out outside of our borders. We've got a panel lined up to speak about how racetracks market to many different audiences and how we can learn about customer segmentation. How do you attract the first-time person to the racetrack versus someone who's a seasoned better versus somebody who might be part of a sponsorship group and expect a certain level of hospitality? We're lucky to have a panel lined up that's going to speak a little bit about the international better. As a lot of people overnight watch, Group 1 racing from Australia, who will stay up late to watch the Florida Derby, who will then stay on to watch the racing at the Hong Kong Jockey Club. The better today wants as much options as possible. How do we deliver to them? How do we deliver the information that they need to place bets and to just enjoy racing, beyond their local OTB? So I think those are the topics that we're very lucky to present. And I think that the takeaway message is we all have these wonderful ideas. Let's share them and let's work together because we're all in this because we love the sport. And how do we grow the market for horse racing in the wake of all these other competing interests in entertainment and gambling?
Yeah, well said. Andrew Chesser with the Jockey Club here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and that Pan Am Conference, not only loaded with panels and topics and things that are beneficial to fans and to industry people, which you can take part in, but, Andrew, I love the fact that you'll have the gala dinner, which is, of course, presented by Longines. That will take place kind of in the shadow of the White House, which is pretty cool, and then you're going to wrap everything up with a trip to the Preakness Stakes. Can't get any better than that.
No, I honestly think it's one of the best deals in racing. You know, the Preakness Stakes itself is just a jewel in American racing. Washington, D.C. is one of the best cities that we have. Again, we're very lucky to partner with Stronach Group and Longines. There's a joint Preakness Stakes celebration event that we're doing with the Stronach Group that will bring guests at the Preakness with attendees at the Pan American Conference to the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, where we can take a look at the museum exhibits, including, you know, the Hope Diamond. The Friday Pan American Conference Gala Dinner, which is presented by Longines, will feature the Longines Ladies Awards, which is presented to women who have made a significant contribution to the equestrian industry or performed at the highest level of the sport. That event's been held in France. It's been held in Great Britain. Past honorees include Princess Haya and Princess Anne, and there will be equally prominent and notable women in racing and equestrian sport who'll be honored at that event. And obviously, we know Longines is the preeminent sponsor of horse racing all around the world. And then we get everybody on a bus. We head to Baltimore. We come to the 142nd Preakness Stakes. And as anybody who's been there, the Maryland Jockey Club is one of the best hosts in horse racing. We all know the Kentucky Derby, the Breeders' Cup, you know, if you're a fan of racing internationally. So we're very lucky. We spoke to a lot of people who have said, this will be my first time going to Pimlico, going to the Preakness Stakes. I'm really excited about it. And we couldn't be more happy to be hosts. So if there's anybody who's thinking about the Preakness, might be on the fence, needed another reason to go, you know, take part in these really interesting business sessions. Take part in these social events. You know, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
No, I don't think you will. And again, you can register and get more information, panamdc2017.com. Andrew, as always, really do appreciate all the support that you're giving us here on the network and anything we can do to help you with this event as we get closer. We look forward to letting people know all about it. So thanks so much, my friend. Thanks for being here. Of course, like all of our guests, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jude.
Andrew Chesser with the Jockey Club here on HRRN. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park in the On Deck Circle. He'll come your way in just about 5 minutes from right now, and we'll take a look at everything happening here at Gulfstream Park on Florida Derby Day, and there are plenty of things to talk about. Plus, Mike kind of told me yesterday that he might have a big long shot in the Derby he wants to tell you about. We'll see. I don't want to steal his thunder, but stay tuned for that pick coming your way here in just a little bit. Time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Taprit tunes up for the Bluegrass Stakes. The high-energy flaunted by Tampa Bay Derby winner Taprit in recent weeks was on display March 31st when the son of Taprit tuned up for his expected start in the April 8th Toyota Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland with a half-mile move at Palm Beach Downs. Under the handling of jockey Jose Ortiz, Taprit worked in company and completed his 4-furlong breeze in 48 4/5 seconds, his second move since rolling to a 4.5-length triumph in the March 11th Tampa Bay Derby. Trainer Todd Pletcher originally planned to wait until this week to put the gray colt back on the work tab following that impressive outing. Taprit, however, had his own schedule he was bent on sticking to. And that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can just head on over to BloodHorse.com. You can do that each and every week. And don't miss any coverage of the Derby preps and the Triple Crown races like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, including feature stories on horses and people in our sport, count on the industry's only weekly publication, Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet. Download the Tablet edition today from the App Store or Google Play, or sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. Serving the industry for over 100 years, Blood Horse. And we're back to visit with Gulfstream Director of Marketing Mike Nyman right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dreyfong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dreyfong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center, with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeder Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
Spendthrift stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Fans, we're now just 1 week away from Santa Anita Derby Day on Saturday, April 8th. In addition to the 80th running of the Grade 1 $1 million Santa Anita Derby, we'll have five other stakes, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks. Our main event this Saturday is the $75,000 Santana Mile, which is expected to attract 2015 Santa Anita Derby winner Dortmund, who is expected to return to the main track for trainer Art Sherman. First post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value. Value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
The gap, Hints in the lead's tearing off, and thus Hints is going to win. And how impressive, Hints, by four lengths, Conquest More Money, Hedge Fund Third, then IRAP, and Total Tap.
Hence punched his ticket to the Run for the Roses with his 3 3/4 length victory in the Grade 3 Sunland Derby this past weekend. The winning performance by the son of Darley Stallion Street Boss makes him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry. Street Boss has had 3 3-year-old Grade 1 winners on dirt since 2013, a total that can only be topped by Curlin and Tappet. No other stallion has as many. In addition to Hentz, Street Boss is the sire of 2016 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks heroine Catherine Sophia, plus Grade 1 winners Capo Bastone, Danza, and Decked Out in America, the quarterback in Australia, and Hong Kong Derby winner Rapper Dragon. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Into the stretch they come, always dreaming, settles into the lane, very confidently handled. He's still under a hand ride by Johnny V, who's looking around for competition, and there just is not any to find. From the outside, Unbridled Holiday tries to get second with Charlie the Greek boxing on, fire for effect at the inside, always dreaming, stylishly in the opener. He won it by 3.5. Game second, Charlie the Greek ahead of Unbridled Holiday third, fire for effect fourth. Look at it, Blessing completes the first race high five in 153-2.
Well, always dreaming, an impressive winner of an allowance race here at Gulfstream back on March 4th. He is 2-for-2 with John Velasquez aboard. He's 2-for-2 since moving into the barn of trainer Todd Pletcher, and each of those individuals looking for a fourth victory in the Florida Derby later today. Don't forget, our coverage comes your way 5 o'clock Eastern Time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can tune in to our English broadcast on Sirius 219, XM 206, and worldwide at horseracingradio.net, as well as terrestrial affiliates across the country. You can see a complete list on our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can listen in Spanish. That coverage coming your way 5 Eastern, HRRNEspanol.com, and it is all presented by our friends at the Pan American Conference coming your way in May in Washington, D.C. Mike Nyman with us here on HRRN. He's been with us every single Saturday at Gulfstream over the course of the championship meet. And, Mike, welcome back, my friend. Happy to be with you in person today.
Oh, yeah, it's good to have you guys down here. Get out of the cool weather, right?
I have a little bone to pick with you before we get started, though,
okay,
by the
no
way.
Problem.
There's an awful lot of Florida Gator blue and orange around here today. Is that the Florida Derby colors now?
Of course. Think I had anything to do with that? No.
Well, I noticed this guy's hat over here is blue and orange as well, so I figured you might have had a little influence there.
Well, last Saturday I walked in here with a Florida Gator tire the night after the Wisconsin game, and, of course, then they got subsequently beat, and people were asking me yesterday, where's that tie? You put it away.
Well, your tie today, you came out with the lucky tie today. These are the silks, right? Your silks?
These are actually, yes, the silks I raced in. And yep. Notice, what are the colors? Orange and blue.
Shocker. Yeah, we were trying to decide if it was Florida Gators or New York Mets.
It works with both. Tim Tebow, both.
Tim Tebow. We actually are going to have Tim Tebow come and play in Lexington. The team that he's playing for the Mets, is in the South Atlantic
South
League,
Carolina,
like yeah. The Lexington Legends. So they're really playing it up. There'll be big crowds there to watch Tim Tebow play when he comes to Lexington.
Actually, I saw him in Palm Beach a couple of weeks ago in a spring training game, and it was really strange because when he came up as a pinch hitter, and it was like a basketball game when the home team and the home player is going to the foul line. You know how the place gets really quiet. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I never was at a baseball game, and everybody noticed it. It just was dead silence. I mean, they wanted to give him every shot. He hits the ball out to left field, and everybody jumped up. You thought the ball was going over the wall. Of course, it was about 30 feet short of the wall. So.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there'll be plenty of stars in attendance here today, not only on the equine side but on the human side as well. It's going to be a tremendous day. 14 races. You have all those stakes, including that $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby. Mike, tell me what people can expect here today, both on the wagering side and when they come out to the track.
Well, they can, first of all, expect great weather. That's number one, and we've been so fortunate here over the years with the weather during the entire championship meet, another great meet as far as weather goes. You can see there's not a cloud in the sky. Just want to mention again, it's free parking and free admission. A lot of fans have asked about that because of Pegasus Day. That's the only day that the racetrack is charged. So all the other days, 10 months, including today, free parking, free admission. There's going to be all kinds of things going on here. If you come with your family, we'll have all kinds of events in the village, face painting and still walkers and other kind of things, family events. And, of course, for those of us who are hardcore racing fans, we're going to have a great 14-race card here again. Another big carryover in the Rainbow Pick 6. It hit over 2 million yesterday, so it'll be probably somewhere close to 3 million, I would guess, today, and looking for that mandatory tomorrow. This is just going to be a huge weekend, both today and tomorrow. Here at Gulfstream. It's just going to be all kinds of entertainment and a lot of fun and just the usual good customer service that we always try to provide here right on track. So come on out.
Yeah, it's the Rainbow Six has created quite a stir amongst racing fans the last couple of weeks, and everybody looking forward to today and tomorrow, trying to. I know a lot of people would like to hit it today, you know, for this big day, and
certainly.
But if there is a carryover, tomorrow is going to be packed here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you'll probably be looking at a pool probably in the $8 to $10 million range.
Yeah.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be tremendous. That mandatory payout coming up tomorrow. Also, Umbrella Day tomorrow, right?
Yes, you come on out tomorrow. You purchase a racing form or a handicapper program. You come up to the Southside program area, and you'll get a beautiful umbrella that we had made this year. It's outstanding. Nancy Berry did a great job, again, with all the giveaways, and this is really one of the most premier giveaways we have. If you're here tomorrow also, 10 Palms very rarely offers these kind of specials, but on their Sunday brunch tomorrow, for the day after the Florida Derby, you buy a brunch, you get the second one off at 50%. You got that. You got some money to throw into that pick six tomorrow, and you know, good luck to everybody. You could be looking at some substantial. I looked at the card. I don't know if you guys looked at it for tomorrow, but it's a tough card, obviously, and you're looking probably at a good payout.
Yeah, if you're going to win $8 million, it should be tough, right?
Make you earn it, right?
Yeah.
We'll chop it up between a few people. It's always nice, like, to spread the wealth, right?
Yeah. No, that's good.
Mike, I'm going to ask you about the Florida Derby more specifically here in a minute. But before we do, I just want to mention that for whatever reason, Gulfstream has, over the past few years, been bucking the trend that we've seen in racing, where a lot of tracks are struggling, the purses are declining in certain areas. And Gulfstream, for whatever reason, over the past few years, has just been going up and up and up. And here you go, the end of another championship meet. You've done it again.
Right. You kind of get spoiled after a while. You know, it all started, you know, when I came here 6.5 years ago when Tim Ritvo became vice president of racing when he first started, and really kind of changed the whole dynamic of the product. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, you know, when you're in marketing, you need a good product. And Tim provided a good product, and we were able to really take Gulfstream and really brand it. And done a great job nationally with it. And it proved out, you know, to me, to show the real strength that the brand showed when we took over the meet over at Calder and rebranded it as Gulfstream Park West, really with the same product and triple the handle from what Calder had produced the year before. So that was, you know, really evidence of how strong our brand is today. And the fact that we're 16 or 17% of the total U.S. handle on it, you know, which is U.S. handle's $10 billion today, it says a lot. But, you know, like I've talked before and we've had conversations, you know, during the meet about, you know, national marketing and things, how we can really lift the entire industry. And I think that's important because, you know, as much as Gulfstream has enjoyed the success of growing, you know, it comes also at an expense in the industry, as you mentioned, affecting other facilities. And, you know, we want the industry to be strong and everybody to do well. So I'm hoping we get to the point now, and Gulfstream leads the way and the Stronach Group, to really, you know, nationalize marketing and racing and all the things that we've all talked about and has been, you know, discussed ad nauseum for years, the commissioner conversation and national medication rules, so on and so forth. So I think, you know, I just think that Gulfstream's proven that this industry can be strong, and the people and the naysayers that have, you know, given us the, you know, the doomsday, it's just not going to be. We proved that if you really follow our model, you can really, really uplift your business.
Yeah, and I think it's important, too, to emphasize that even though the championship meet finishes tomorrow here at Gulfstream Park, racing is far from done. You're going to keep going all the way through the summer, Mike.
And that's a lot of the reason why we've had success, because we're out in front of the customer 12 months a year, 10 months here and 2 months with the GPW product. So this is another, you know, a vision of Frank Stronach of having, you know, where people would have thought years ago what track could really run 10 months a year. And that's great because it really keeps us out in front of everybody. And, yes, we ratchet it right back up on April 5th on Wednesday for the spring summer meet, which runs right through September 30th. And we'll have a lot of big days, some of the speed. We have the Sire Stakes Series. We get to see the real good two-year-old Florida bred horses. And you're going to see one today that he actually swept the series last year, three rules, ran in the Breeders' Cup, and then he'll be running today in the Florida Derby.
Yeah, it's so vital to keep the product in the public eye. And when I was helping Keeneland do some marketing, I used to tell him all the time, you know, we're only open 3 weeks, spring and fall. You got to keep people reminded that there's racing going on, simulcasting and all that stuff. You got to keep it in people's heads, and we design promotions around that. But when we had Chesser on, Andrew Chesser from the Jockey Club, on talking about the Pan American Conference, I mentioned how much that Gulfstream has done with the Hispanic community, and I think that's a great outreach that you've kind of pioneered here, because this is an area where that's a large part of your market.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, growing up and living in this market, you know, I've been here since I'm 14 years old and, you know, kind of watch how the geography has changed. When I grew up here in Miami Beach in the 70s, the Hispanic influence was mostly Cuban, which is still a very large part of the population. But as time has changed, Central, South America, Colombia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, all these other countries, there's been massive immigration here and into South Florida. Yep. So it's kind of changed the demographic and the dynamic, and you have to be talking to that audience. If you're not, you're missing, in Dade County, the majority, and in Broward, it will be that way shortly. So, you know, it's an important part of the community. We have to embrace that. That's one of the great things about being in South Florida. It's one of those markets where it's very diverse. We have a lot of different cultures here, and, you know, you get to be exposed to a lot of different things. And I embrace it, and Gulfstream embraces it. We love it. So everybody to us is a customer. And that's one of the things I said about one of the things about the racetrack, which is so great. You meet so many different kinds of people from all different walks of life. Where else do you see, like, you know, people with wealth in the millions and billions hanging out with people and the $2 players and, you know, yep, the $15 an hour worker? The race brings everybody together. You look at groups of people and they're so different within themselves individually, but they all come for this. And this is one of the rare things, I think, that people sometimes don't realize is what racing really does and the emotion and the cohesiveness it brings people together. And in an age today where there's so much divisiveness, and we all know that, it's great when you come to a place where there's something that we all kind of resonate around and enjoy and put all everything else aside.
He's Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. All right, Mike, let's dive into this Florida Derby, because I teased this a few minutes ago, but you told me yesterday there's a horse you have your eye on that could light up the tote board later today.
Well, of course, I have to do this in honor of Michelle Pena, because I know we've gone a whole nother year, and the 50-1 movie is still sitting in that DVD, I know, in some bag somewhere. I don't understand why you guys haven't seen that movie yet. Soon I'm going to tell you I'm going to have to take it over by eminent domain, because I can't find a copy of it myself now.
I actually took it out of my bag this trip so I couldn't claim foul. I had no idea what happened to the...
Well, in your honor, I'm going to give out... The 50-1 morning line shot will probably be more like 200-1 in the race. But Quintonis with Carlos Montalvo, he bagged in a 99-1 shot here last week. I like the way he goes. And so far to say, can he win the race? Probably not. But you know what? Like everybody, you're looking through that horse to put in your triple, your super, him. The other one I also like, I do like another long shot, Talk Logistics. I love the combination of Joe Bravo and Eddie Pleasey's. Sometimes very underrated, brings the right horses at the right time into big races, and they end up doing a good job. So I'm going to use those both in my tickets. And, of course, I'm going to have Gunavera in my ticket, who I, you know, gave out for Fountain of Youth Day. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it's tough, you know, on the outside. But he's a plotter, and he can get himself in good position, should be able to make a run at the end. So you can't discount him as the favorite. It's a wide-open race. There's no doubt about it. You know, you mentioned Always Dreaming. Obviously, when you got a Pletcher Velasquez going, you know that's going to be a competitive horse. You know, I got all those great jockeys going, Ortiz and Le Peru and Javier, and just a really great setup race, probably one of the better races as far as competitiveness and as far as an actual, you know, a betting affair. I think it's one of the best since I've been here, if not the best.
Yeah, we can report that Battalion Runner is going to be scratched from today's Florida Derby, so you'll be down to a field of 10, but a very well-balanced field. And Mike Nyman, thanks so much. The cost of my ticket just tripled now. Now I got to throw them in, right? Because if they win or hit the board in the trifecta, I'm going to be so mad I didn't use them. All right, Mike Nyman with us again here on HRN. Mike, as always, appreciate all the support that you give to us and HRN and Espanol throughout the year. We can't do it without you. Thank you so much,
appreciate
my friend.
Appreciate
it. And look forward to helping you throughout the summer, too.
We're looking forward to it, and keep on going. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate all the effort and you know, promoting Gulfstream Park. And like I said, it's great having you all here. And Michelle, it's always great having you. And let me know when you see the movie, hopefully before.
I am going home and watching it. I don't care what happens this week. I am watching that movie.
And then you'll be sending me a text right
after. The problem is the DVD player is only in my bedroom, so I feel like if I'm going to watch a movie, I have to have popcorn, and I don't want to eat popcorn.
Awful excuse. I can eat popcorn anywhere.
Take care.
All right, Mike Nyman here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's indeed going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. And one more quick reminder, when you come out to Gulfstream today, make sure you visit Silks and buy your live sport radio. It's a Gulfstream race day radio, and you'll be able to hear all of our coverage throughout the entire day. We're going to have content out there, HRN content throughout the entire day, and you'll be able to hear it in English and Spanish all day long. And if we're not on, you'll be able to hear Ron Nicoletti, Acacia Courtney, and all that coverage coming from Gulfstream Park throughout the day, and should be a lot of fun. Gabby Gaudet also part of that team, so
yeah,
it's going to be good.
A great job,
and they're only $10. The radios are only $10. You can walk around, and then you can take them home, use them as an FM radio too. So brilliant. Brilliant idea. Make sure you do that. They're available in silks as soon as you get to Gulfstream Park. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway with interviews from John Velasquez, Jose Pinchon, and Neil Howard. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Three quarters in one, 10-3. They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Shackleford, trying to pull off a big upset, is in front in the Florida Derby. To honor and serve, Dialed In is coming with his giant strides on the far outside. Still has to get to Shackleford. Shackleford, still there. Dialed In, coming after him. Shackleford, the race of his life. Dialed In's got him. Dialed In, Dialed In won the Florida Derby. Shackleford was right with him on the wire. To honor and serve and Flashpoint.
Larry Colmus with the call of that 2011 running of the Florida Derby. Dialed In, getting the victory that day. This afternoon, his son, Gunnavera, goes to the post as the likely favorite. 8-5 on the morning line. He will square off with nine other rivals. The race coming up at 6:40 Eastern Time. That's the Express Bet Florida Derby, and you will hear it exclusively with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series presented by the FTBOA. Coverage begins 5 o'clock Eastern Time. You can listen 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll hear that race. You'll hear the Louisiana Derby. And you can do it in both English and Spanish right here on Sirius 219 XM 206. Worldwide at horseracingradio.net and on terrestrial affiliates across the country. And yes, you can listen in Spanish, HRN and Espanol. com. JT, it is time to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby. 35 days, 8 hours, 48 minutes, and 53 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. Two big prep races today, Florida Derby, Louisiana Derby. We're going to get right to our first interview. You're going to hear from John Velasquez, you'll hear from Jose Pinchon, and you'll hear from Neil Howard talking about his horse in the Louisiana Derby. But here's what John Velasquez had to say yesterday when I caught up with him, and we talked about his Florida Derby contender, Always Dreaming.
Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez has won the Florida Derby three times. He's looking for win number four on Saturday with Always Dreaming. Johnny, you think about your first three. You had Quality Road in 2009, Orb in 2013, and then Materiality most recently in 2015. What's the key to getting number four with Always Dreaming on Saturday?
I think the key is good horses. That's the secret. not really. I mean, I've been very fortunate to ride a lot of nice horses, and I think there's no exception about this one. I mean, he showed a lot of class in the morning, a lot of class in the races that he's run. I know he's a young horse, but he's definitely done everything right leading into this race, so hopefully he can step up to the next plate, into this race anyway. He's done, like I said, he's done everything really, really well, and he's done everything very impressive in the morning, so I think if he can put that in the race tomorrow, it will be good.
He's a perfect two for two since Todd took over training here in 2017. You've been aboard for both of those wins. The first one, that maiden win, four-length victory at, it was actually, a seven-length victory, I guess, right? Open lengths at Tampa Bay Downs, and then four-length victory here in Allowance Company. What did you feel underneath you in those two races?
Like I said, I mean, it was pretty easy to get underneath, especially when we went to Tampa, and it was a very easy race. And then we came here for the Allowance race and then ended up being a walk-off, if you mean, but, if that's what it felt like, the way he did it, it was slow pace. No one put any pressure on it. And I wasn't even supposed to be on the lead, ended up being on the lead in a slow pace. And I got off and I told Todd that was not enough for him. He just didn't do much. I mean, I let him run a little bit, like 70 yards to feel how he did it. And he opened up right away. But yeah, it was pretty easy though. That's the thing. He's very young and the competition hasn't been very tough so far, so I hope he can do that into the race tomorrow.
Size up the competition a little bit for me on Saturday. How big of a test is this for him?
It's obviously a big test, and the way you look at it, obviously, Del Roman has a nice horse, won an Allowance race here. But Gunnavera, obviously, he's the toughest horse. I mean, he's been dancing every dance out there, and he has show every dance. I think that's the test he's been thrown out into this race. I think if he can hold on to that the way he's doing in the morning and put a good fight down the lane, I think we should be okay. Obviously, it's a step up for him.
If you could write the script for this Florida Derby, what would be the ideal trip if you could map it out?
Well, here are things. I don't want to be on the lead, obviously. I inherited the lead last time out. I think if somebody goes and maybe two horses go in a late third, they are in wait. And hopefully I can settle my horses behind the speed a little bit and wait for Gunnar and try to outrun him down the lane. That would be the perfect scenario, you know, and hopefully that would be the case.
Gunavera has to break from post position number 11. You have a much better draw. Why is it so challenging to win from that far outside post going a mile and an eighth here at Gulfstream?
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, if you have enough speed and you break a little slow and then you get cut so wide and then you lose a lot of ground. For him, in this case, he doesn't have much speed, so he's probably going to break and drop in right away because not a lot of speed. He has not shown much speed coming out of the gate. So I think he's probably going to do that. He's probably going to break, try to drop in right away. He probably would be okay going to the first turn. If he breaks good enough and he thinks that I haven't seen the two horses inside of him to see if they have any speed that maybe holding him up a little bit on the outside, he probably is going to come out, try to... I run those two horses and try to save some ground in the first turn. That's the basis is, you know, it still depends how he's going to break from the gate. But I think, I mean, if looking at the way he has broke the last two times, if he breaks a little slow, he's going to take back and go right to the turn, right to the inside in the turn. So I think he should be okay. It's about the last part of the race where he's going to be. And I think he's probably going to try to do the same thing the last time out, try to go around the horses, and that's his best bet. He seems to respond very good for that.
You know, I mentioned those three wins that you had. We talked about, or I mentioned those three horses at the beginning of the interview. Is there a favorite Florida Derby memory for Johnny V?
Three really good horses. So, I mean, I always had it, you know, like Quality Road was one of my favorite horses, you know, and just basically for it. They're all different horses, and then you start thinking just how lucky you are and how blessed you are to had the opportunity to ride some good horses and with this kind of races. So they're all special in their own way.
Speaking of being blessed, let me read these other names to you for just a minute, Johnny. Shoemaker, Hartack, Bailey, Smith, Prado, and Velasquez. You guys have each won the Florida Derby three times. If you can win it Saturday, you'll stand alone atop that list. I know you're a competitive guy. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot, and especially for to be named next to those guys that you just actually named, and I've been a fan for a lot of them. I wrote with Jerry and Prado, obviously still around. So those are guys that I looked up very much when I first got to New York. So it's special, definitely very special, and hopefully if I can stand alone, it'll be even extra special.
Well, for us media members, it's fun to talk about those kind of things, and I think fans enjoy hearing those kind of stats. Do jockeys really pay attention to those kind of things?
You know, I don't. You know, I'm being very honest. I do not look at the stats, and I don't look the records or anything like that, because I think that's one thing I'm going to look back when I retire. I start looking back in the things I did, and I'm going to enjoy that then. While I'm riding, I don't look at it. You know, I just don't think it's the right thing to brag about it or to talk about it. You know, when people mention it with the media, it's like, oh, that's stuff for the media. You know what I mean? So that's really good. And when you bring it up, and it's like, oh, wow, that's right. I want three of them, though, you know. So it feels good about it. But it's not something that I follow or that I look all the time to see what I've done. I don't know. I just don't think it works for me.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Hall of Famer John Velasquez, always dreaming, looking to give him win number four in the Florida Derby. And, Jude, that's one of the things that makes Johnny so good. You heard him when I asked him the question about Gunavera in the outside post, and he immediately knew every intricacy of Gunavera. He's going to know every horse in this race with him, not just his own horse, and that's what makes him so good.
Yeah, well, he's arguably the smartest jockey in the room, and he's a guy that's a student of the game. He knows the horses, the strategy. He's already thought about all of this, you know, very, very similar to a guy like Mike Smith and how he looks at a race. And, you know, the better jockeys are the good handicappers. When Bill Shoemaker was riding, he was an excellent handicapper. He could come out from the jocks room and tell you exactly what every horse in the race was going to do, you know, including his. So it's a talent, it's a skill, but it's also concentration and intelligence. So, not surprising that Johnny knows where everybody's going
to
be.
One of the horses he'll have to worry about is Three Rules, who is trained by Jose Pinchon, the Florida bred, well, kind of carrying the local hopes. And yesterday I talked with Jose.
That race was a pretty set-up race for Guinevere. My horse and Irish Quark ride, they went fast. So it was a good setup for him. This race might be different. It just all depends on the break you get. There's speed inside and there's speed outside. So he's a relaxed horse. He'll relax. And we're hoping he'll get the mile on eighth, you know. But we know he can sprint. And the track is lightning fast this morning, so we'll get a fast track tomorrow.
Well, three rules, likely to be on the lead, and he said he can relax. We'll find out. But he started by looking back on that Fountain of Youth Stakes and saying that the pace really set up for Guinevere. He's hoping for better situation here today.
Yeah, well, he's pretty much got one way to go. He's a speed horse, and that's not a bad thing to be ever. A lot of talent. He's a good little horse. Maybe slightly overmatched with the Derby horses. We'll have to wait and see. But, you got to give him a shot in your own backyard.
We want to have time to hear from Neil Howard talking about the Louisiana Derby, and JT, you want to have time to give your picks for that race too. So I guess very quickly, who wins today's Florida Derby?
Well, I like two long shots, actually, and I'm looking at Unbridled Holiday and Impressive Edge. Impressive Edge is the horse I'm probably going to bet. He won by six lengths last time for Dale Romans. He's come back to work really well. Dale is really high on him. He's got some good tactical speed. It's his first time around two turns, but I don't think that's going to be a problem. Dale wins 22% of the time with that angle, so it's Impressive Edge for me in the Florida Derby.
All right, that's the Florida Derby. It goes at 6:40 Eastern. At least that's the schedule post. Probably going to go a little bit later. We're going to talk about the Louisiana Derby right after we hear from Neil Howard. That's coming up in a moment, but want to tell you about the sponsor of this segment, Gainsway, and one of their stallions, Tapazar. And you take a look at Tapazar and the start that he has gotten off to at stud. It's been remarkable. He has Hollywood Handsome for trainer Dallas Stewart going to the post in today's Louisiana Derby. And just the other day, his three-year-old American Pastime scored with a 91 buyer in his career debut for West Coast trainer Bob Hess Jr. So take a look at Tapazar, really on fire, standing at Gainesway. All right, Neil Howard sends out Guest Suite in today's Louisiana Derby, and here's what Neil had to say about his talented three-year-old.
You know, he did very well after the race at the allowance race at Churchill. He settled in and trained beautifully down here, trained good for the LeComp, and came out, and I thought he trained good for the Risen Star, and I thought he ran good in the Risen Star. I think that, you know, he dropped out of it a little bit. It just one of those things that might have cost him third, but I thought he came hard enough at the end. The winner is not to be taken lightly. I mean, to run as good as he did off in only a third start, you know, all those little statistical things you look at, you know, you guys look at that stuff probably more than I do every day, and so I thought it was a good race, and he's done extremely well since that race also. So he has been, you know, he's had a good spacing between races. I think he's had, you know, he's had the right amount of races where I feel like he's still kind of, you know, I was telling somebody, asked me the other day in an interview, you know, how do you try to navigate through this stuff, keeping these horses moving forward? You know, you want to be ready for these races, but you don't want to go over the top, and that's the most difficult thing, you know. But he's done well, and he's a very athletic-looking, real smooth looking, nice size horse, not gigantic, but a nice size, and very athletic, probably, so, which is, I think, beneficial. He's got a lot of good, there's a lot to like about him, so we'll see, you know.
Got to give you confidence, a horse like Guest Suite, always gaining ground at the end of his races. It's got to really swell you up coming into a race like the Louisiana Derby, and then, provided all goes well, the Kentucky Derby, that, you know, most of them aren't doing what he's doing, and that's gaining ground at the end of his races.
Yeah, yeah. He has been very good about that. You know, it's nice to see that, and even in the Risen Star, because, you know, you're not going to win every one of these preps. I mean, I'm sure there have been some horses that do, but the majority of them don't. But I thought that is one little particular skill that he has. He always does seem to be coming good at the end. And as you say, that's always good. You know, so now he'll get a little added ground to the mile and eighth, which you would think that should be beneficial for him also. And here at Fairgrounds, you know, Fairgrounds is very kind to closers because of the long stretch and everything. You know, you got to have the setup. You hope that it goes your way, you know, some speed in there or somebody, you know, a couple of horses could hook up, all the things that you like to see happen for a horse like this. So, yeah, he does have that. That's one thing he does have in his wheelhouse that's probably a positive.
All right, that's trainer Neil Howard with our Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio earlier this week. Guest suite going to the post in the Louisiana Derby. Certainly a player, JT. Who wins that race?
Well, I like Neil's horse a lot, Guest Suite. He's a hard-knocking horse, and last time the pace was really slow, and he still made an effort in the stretch. So I think he's got a good chance today going a mile and an eighth. You got to respect Gervin. He's going to be the favorite. He hasn't made any mistakes so far. And Local Hero, we heard from Florent Giroux earlier, and he's going to try to get a little bit better trip, try to get the horse to relax. And if he does, he could be long gone. But I'm probably going to bet on Neil's horse.
All right, and post time for that Louisiana Derby, 5:21 local time at the fairgrounds at 6:21 Eastern. And again, it's all part of our coverage this afternoon, which kicks off 5 o'clock Eastern time, presented by the Pan American Conference. Make sure you join us 5 Eastern. You can get all that information on our website in terms of SiriusXM information, affiliates, and you can listen worldwide, both in English and in Spanish. Oblando de Abismo coming up at 10 Eastern on HRNandEspanol.com. Make sure you switch over there for 2 hours of Spanish coverage of the Florida Derby, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Our thanks to Pam Robinson from Brandywine Farm, Florent Giroux, Andrew Chesser, Mike Nyman, and then John Velasquez, Jose Pinchon, and Neil Howard for taking the time to make this show possible. Appreciate everybody listening. We're back 5 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. And, hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.